You are listening to the 8th episode of the Ajiatian Podcast, the anime and comic book podcast which we take things one arc further. I am your friendly neighborhood host, Jamal, as always. Hope you are having a lovely day, and the narrative or the comic book of which we will be reviewing today is none other than Deceased. Note that this will be an early review, as I will be reviewing this 3 issues in, so I may or may not come back to this, and therefore do note that some of my insights or some of my opinions, yes, there are opinions in this show, may be slightly inconsiderate of events that come afterwards as I am talking 3 issues in, so keep that in mind. So without wasting any more time, here is the 8th episode. Remember, updates on Twitter, hope you are having a lovely day, and here is the 8th episode of the GITM Podcast, a review of Deceased. I've honestly never been a big fan of zombie movies, and I'm honestly very squeamish when it comes to stuff like that. I don't watch horror movies, I don't even read horror comic books, I've never watched The Walking Dead, I've never done any of that. But when I saw Deceased, and I saw the Joker on the front cover, practically looking dead, I had no choice but to buy it and pick it up. And on that note, remember, spoilers for Deceased issues 1 to 3 that I will be speaking about today. So who is behind Deceased? The two main guys behind Deceased are Tom Taylor and Trevor Hairsine. Both of these guys, alongside the art team being James Herron and Stefano Guardiano. I apologize if I got those wrong. I do believe I did get them right, but if I got those wrong, forgive me please. Those guys bring you Deceased issues 1 to 3. I actually also managed to pick up a Forbidden Planet variant, an exclusive signed variant actually, signed by Taylor himself to my understanding, and that cover being done by Hairsine and Elmer Santos. That's a non-sponsored message, I just wanted to share that, as yeah, I got this pretty nice cover to start Deceased. So what is Deceased about? Deceased is kind of a twist or DC's version of a twist on the classic zombie story through DC logic, if you will, and that being through Darkseid and the anti-life equation. And that calls for a plot summary. So what is Deceased about? Darkseid has returned. And yes, Darkseid, as always, is meddling in affairs that aren't to do with him and comes back to Earth for another challenge with the Justice League. I don't know why he didn't learn his lesson from the Darkseid War, but welp, here he is, challenging them again. Deceased issue 1 picks up from where he is at his weakest, or not really weakest, but at his lowest point, as he's seemingly lost the battle between him and the League, but has apparently found what he has needed all this time. So he makes a nice dramatic exit, saying, "I have what I need," and leaves. And evidently he was right, because Cyborg has now gone missing. And Cyborg is now found on Apokolips, and they take out the Apokoliptian technology that is the mother box inside of him. All of that is with the effort for obtaining the anti-life equation, or the second half. Of course, Darkseid possesses the other half, but with the mother box and the anti-life equation, and now he summons the Black Racer, Death himself. He has the potential, and goes with it, to alter the anti-life equation. As a result, Darkseid just blows up. I don't really know what's happened to him, we don't really know that yet. But he blows up, and now as a result of Cyborg being connected to the internet, he has obtained this new and altered anti-life equation, and the virus has spread to the internet, into social media, and anybody who uses their phones using social media is now a victim to the virus. And now a new virus has been born. So it is the job of the Justice League to defend the Earth from the internet and these what are now internet zombies. So that is pretty much the plot, but to me it doesn't sound ridiculous. Okay, it sounds kind of ridiculous, but it sounds ridiculous in a good way, if that makes sense. The thing I like about Deceased is that it's very out there. I'll speak about that a bit more later, but with these quote-unquote anti-life zombies, we can't really call them zombies as they say in the panels themselves. They say that they are more of anti-life beings and people that are looking to take life as opposed to being undead, which in DC logic makes sense, but I think it's easier if we call them zombies, like, come on, DC. But that's not the problem, that's fine. Well, there isn't really a problem here, but what I find really interesting is that DC feels really blasé about it. It gets right to the point from the beginning with the whole anti-life stuff. It takes only a few pages to get right into it, and the whole cyborg extraction only takes a few pages, and bang, the anti-life equation is present, and our zombie saga Walking Dead thingy begins. The arc from Justice League that really is similar to Deceased, I would say, is the Amazo virus, and if I'm not mistaken, that comes from, I think, Justice League Volume 6? It's somewhere like that. It's towards the end or the second half of the Justice League New 52 era or line, but it definitely reminds me of the Amazo virus. The Amazo virus was very similar, in fact, but I think what was not wrong, but very different about the Amazo virus was that it was taken very seriously. The Amazo virus saw characters such as Lena Luthor and Lex Luthor combining forces with other heroes that they wouldn't typically work with in order to take down these new and corrupted League members. So if we take The Flash, who was, I believe, ill and then corrupted, Batman, and all of those guys, they were on the other side of all of this. And although Deceased does do this, I kind of feel like Deceased makes it seem a lot more funny and spontaneous in the way that they don't need to show everybody become corrupted one by one. It kind of just goes by the assumption of, okay, almost half of the city or almost millions are already corrupted. If we take Dick Grayson and some of the Robins, that was all kind of assumed, even the Birds of Prey, that happened as well. So it all felt really spontaneous, as opposed to the Amazo virus, where it was kind of a one-by-one slow corruption of each character. And I do think that is a good thing. I think it's a good change to make for a very similar narrative. Also, on the whole theme of spontaneity, I think a really fun part was the comedy behind it, and also, again, how hyper-unrealistic the plot is. If we look at the whole social media thing, when will that really happen? It won't. And that's the, not irony, I was about to say irony, but I think the better word for it is just the fun of it. The entertainment value comes from the fact that something that won't happen is happening right now, and it's kind of ridiculous that everyone's so dependent on their phones that therefore they turn into these zombies, or as a result of being connected to the internet, they are subject to this crazy wild virus that spreads from what was only Darkseid to now loads and loads and loads of people. I think the comedy that really came into this comes mostly from the beginning with Cyborg talking about, oh yeah, I don't kink shame anyone, which was kind of funny, and also just all the teasers of Darkseid. So when he makes the dramatic exit and dramatic entrance as well, that comes from Green Arrow also. I think all of that commentary on characters such as Darkseid, who appear to be quite cinematic in their approach in the comics, I like how that's mocked. And I don't know whether that's kind of a parody to the whole zombie movie genre or subgenre, but if it is, it definitely works. If it doesn't, it's still really funny overall. Another example of spontaneity that I was really quick to latch on was the spontaneity with the whole Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, Dina Lance thing. I think that it was quite a rash decision. I don't know if it was the best one, but definitely for comedic value from my point of view, to just make Dina Lance a Green Lantern right there and then, I think was quite bold. They kind of just said, Green Lantern is now corrupted. Who wants to be another Green Lantern? And they just make Dina Lance a Green Lantern. Yeah, that's not a bad thing. Dina Lance has a lot of willpower. That has always been true. She is quite courageous and daring. But it was very quick to make that decision. I don't know. I don't think that was a bad thing. I'm not going to try and fixate on one choice and whether it's good or bad. But you can tell through decisions like that, that DC is really just going right for it in this. They're not holding anything back. They decide just to corrupt this character, corrupt this character, corrupt this character, and just roll with it. I do think they're going to eventually form somewhat of a team out of the Uncorrupted. I think it would be stupid if they didn't, but it would be quite funny to see that just all these other characters have become corrupted, some of these people being some of the greatest minds or the greatest fighters or defenders in the DCU. Examples of that would be corrupting Batman. They did do that in the Amazovirus, which I think was also quite bold, but they decided to do this again. I don't know how that's going to work out. I think subtracting the brains from the operation seems to be their approach, and hopefully Batman ends up being a good antagonist. I always kind of feel like Batman is this mixture of antagonist and protagonist. He's kind of the antagonist to the villains, of course, but he doesn't mind stepping that extra level in order to outsmart and defeat his opponent. And hopefully Batman will implement that further on into Deceased. And the thing is, that is, to my understanding, possible, as they use the logic of the fact that they aren't truly dead. And if they aren't truly dead, they therefore have sentience, or sentience, the ability to think, that's what I mean, and therefore they can think up plans and operations to defeat the Uncorrupted. But then we have what I think is the exception to the rule. And the exception to the rule of the whole spontaneity thing, I would say, is probably Superman. And I don't think Superman is a bad character or has a bad role in Deceased. I think it would be like almost blasphemous to say Superman hasn't had any developing rebirth in general, or just this sort of portion of the DC universe and where we're going at the moment. I spoke about that quite a bit in episode 3, to my understanding. However, I do think that Superman has a very different approach to this situation, or the general mood of the story, and Superman does get quite a lot of focus in these 3 issues that I've read, mostly him going back to Smallville to take his parents and stuff, and also protecting Lois, protecting John and all of that stuff. But I think when the story is very fast-paced and potentially, from my view, very comedic, not too comedic, I think that's a stretch, but quite comedic in the stuff of Green Arrow and Green Lantern and all of that, he kind of makes things feel a bit more sad and serious. He kind of brings it back to the ground. And I think Deceased, which tries to get away from a lot of the serious and quite tense stuff in the DC universe at the moment, bringing in a bit more of a serious or harder line story or sort of story arc for Superman himself, kind of brings down the mood. And that's my opinion. Of course, you are entitled to yours, but I do think that Superman does have a different vibe in this, and I don't know if Superman's character matches the vibe of what's going on. But with that being said, the counter argument would be that is how Superman always acts, and I can agree with that. For what I've read so far, I think it's quite an interesting and ambitious story. I don't know if they're going for the same approach of the Amazovirus, But what it seems to be is that there is almost no long-term plan when it comes to how we're going to tackle the zombies. And that kind of accentuates the whole idea of spontaneity, in my opinion. I think the three issues just try to exacerbate the problem more and more with the introduction of these new characters and the slow but steady corruption of Batman. And by the end of, I believe, issue 2 or 3, he is now a full-on anti-life zombie person-being thing. And that therefore makes tackling the anti-life situation just that extra bit harder, as the brains of the operation, which I said earlier, is now gone. And what is there to do if there's no Batman? Batman always thinks of a plan, and he's always on the 4D chess game. If no one has a plan, Batman has a plan, and if that plan fails, he has another and another and another. But what do you do when that isn't present, when the Deus Ex Machina isn't present? And I think stories like Metal try to explore that as well. When you have multiple Batman with the same sort of brains and has or is in the same league of Batman, what do you do when arguably the greatest detective and one of the greatest heroes probably of his time, despite having no powers, now has powers and still has that mind? What do you do to tackle that? And that's what I'm really proud about when it comes to the DC universe at the moment. They are tackling those hard questions. I spoke a bit in episode 3 about the Joker plotline and the three Joker stuff, and although I was kind of upset, I'll be honest, I was quite upset at how they weren't addressing that properly, in my opinion, they are still tackling the question nonetheless. They are questioning, oh, if Batman wasn't present, or what if Darkseid did this, what would happen then? How would we tackle that? Let's make a series for that. What if Superman died again? How would we tackle that? What would we do if this happened or that happened? What would we do if, say, Superman or the League collided with the Watchmen? What would we do then? And that's kind of my approach. That's how I'm seeing this. DC is currently trying to question what they've previously done, and they are turning that into pieces. And I think Deceased is a great example of that. Moving on slightly, hopefully those who are cultured, I believe you guys are all cultured, yes, I believe you're all cultured, but hopefully you guys recognize the title is an Ice Age 3 reference to the whole meme of I died, but then I lived. I love that meme, one of my favorite memes out there at the moment, although it's kind of dying, it's kind of very dead, let's be honest. But that's not the point. The point is that I think I'm going to be doing a new segment, particularly for these comic book episodes. I would love to do them for anime and stuff as well, and that is going to be kind of, I don't have a name for it, but it's going to be kind of linking memes, what memes pull through for certain shows. So I'm just gonna put some music right here and then start the segment. Hope you enjoy it. Here is our meme segment. The first meme I think that is really good and applicable to these three issues is the I died, but then I lived Ice Age 3 meme. Again, I love that meme, but the reason I think it's really important is that it conforms to DC's logic and reasoning behind this. They don't try to go along the classic they're zombies route. It kind of is a zombie story, but it's defined by DC logic, and therefore, I think that meme's quite suitable. It isn't really going along, this is a zombie storyline, but it's still very zombie-esque. The second meme that I think works really well for this, and is mostly applicable to Darkseid, is the It's Big Brain Time meme. And that meme is also a very good one. I'm not calling Darkseid dumb, but I'm kind of calling Darkseid dumb in the way that he kind of blows up after the whole anti-life equation stuff. He goes through all these things to therefore kind of tinker the equation and summons death, strangles death, implements him within that, and karma, he kind of just, I don't want to say gets shredded, as we don't know the true fate of Darkseid as of yet. He kind of combusts, and it's kind of sad for him. So I'm going to put the It's Big Brain Time meme award for Darkseid. And the final meme, yes, the final meme that I will be relating to deceased is the Spider-Man 2002, I am something of a scientist myself, or a scientific myself, I think that's how it goes. Again, great meme, great meme, and I'm applying that to Darkseid. I think Darkseid is probably the most memed part of all three issues of which I've read of DC so far. And that's mostly because of the fact that he decides, yeah, I'm gonna summon death, I'm gonna just change the equation, I'm just gonna get both sides of the anti-life equation because why the heck not, and just alter it for my own purposes. And yeah, look what happened to him, he kinda got screwed over. So yeah, him thinking, I'm kind of a scientist myself by the way, just got him nowhere. And yeah, I don't know what happened to him, I might just read issue 4 when that comes out, and he might be perfectly fine. But yeah, he kinda got crushed for no reason there, cause he just wanted to tamper with an equation for the fun of it. So that is it for the untitled meme segment we're doing here. Probably try and think of a name for when I do it in another episode. If you guys enjoy it, tell me. You can get in contact by tweeting me at hashtag GetInTheMecha, or just at me at GetInTheMecha, or you can email me at GetInTheMecha@gmail.com. That is GetInTheMecha@gmail.com. Tell me about what you thought about the memes. Do you enjoy this segment? Tell me your anime and comic book opinion questions, and I'll try to go through a few when I get a good collection of them. But back to the show. So, my honest opinion of Deceased is that I enjoy it, I will go on to read more of it, but I don't think it's something that's, you know, next level revolutionary or something that's changing the game altogether. And I don't think that's the purpose of it. I don't think it needs to do that. Not everything needs to be this crazy 10-part event that changes things. It's just a nice refreshing piece of fun to see different heroes and villains cooperate and fight each other in order to save their own heads. The interesting thing about Deceased is that it's not a matter of hero and villain, or antagonist and protagonist, it's a matter of survival, and therefore, it doesn't really matter who is defending themselves, it's for survival, and therefore, I assume, similarly to the Amazo virus, or similarly to other zombie plot lines, or other situations like this, that no matter who you're teaming up with, you do it for the benefit of the team, and by the team I mean humanity. So, in summary, what do I think of Deceased? I like it. Will I read more of it? Yes. Do I have fun with it? Heck yes, I have a lot of fun with Deceased. But do I think it's something that is fabulous and groundbreaking? Possibly not. But with that being said, I love the art, I love what Taylor and Hairsign are doing alongside all of the rest of the team. I just think that it isn't particularly the standout of the year, but it's definitely a very fun event, and I am looking forward to reading more of it. Thank you for listening to the 8th episode of the GITM podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it. And hopefully you understand my view of Deceased. I'm looking forward to reading more of it, I can't wait. I will tear out my wallet by all means to buy a few more issues. So thank you for listening. Why not leave a review on whether that's Apple Podcasts or your podcast app? Gives me an idea as to progress and how I can improve the show. Of course, updates on Twitter at GetInTheMecha, email me at GetInTheMecha@gmail.com, that is GetInTheMecha@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes, I know I haven't been saying that recently, those who have been listening to the other episodes, make sure to check out the show notes. It's a bit more of a summarized written version of what I've said. You can check those out, and all the links and sources and stuff should be there as well. And that is going to wrap it up. So whatever you're doing today, have a lovely day. Thank you for tuning in, and hopefully I will see you on the next one. Goodbye. The music in this production goes as follows. Go Lucky by Chasers Gaming, Mandatory Overtime by Joth, Salty Ditty by Kevin MacLeod under Incomtech.com. The sound effects in today's production goes as follows. Sound effects from Subspace Audio.